That's not why we're here. It's not about football. So if we spend till 1:15, we're okay. Let's stand up. Let's go to God's word before this goes south. All right. Thank you, Lord. We're in verse 10, Matthew 13, 10. I mentioned this passage before as we were working through Matthew 13 on the parable of the sower, but let's go back. It says, the word says, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower,'" and he goes on. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I do thank you, Lord, that we can laugh and we can have fun and we can enjoy our day. But this time is about having our eyes open and our ears open, Father, to see you and understand your word. And I want to thank you for that, Father. I want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for your people that are here, Lord, that we might grow in your word. And this day that we're in, Lord, help us to know and understand your word, that we might be lights, Lord God, in a dark place. Father, thank you for you. And I ask that you'd speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, why did Jesus speak in parables? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's the question of our text today, especially as you read verses 12 through 15 there. He speaks in parables to hide the secrets of the kingdom from some, and he reveals the secrets of the kingdom to others. So what kind of thing is Jesus doing there? Well, during his earthly ministry, as Jesus went about preaching and teaching, he used parables. You know, look at verses 33, Matthew 13, go to verse 33. I don't know that I have that up there. Well, yeah. We'll come back to that. This is actually before that. So verse 33, Matthew 13, 33 to 35, it says, "Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was leavened.'" All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in what? In parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. Notice that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept in secret from the foundation of the world." I will revisit that verse towards the end of the passage, but chapter 78, Psalm 78. Go to Psalm 78. It was foretold that Jesus would speak in parables. Back in Psalm 78, look at the first two verses of this psalm. God being at work in Israel, which is what that psalm is about. The psalm says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a what?" So it's even spoken or prophesied that Jesus would come along and speak in parables. Now you say, okay, who understands these parables? Well, Christ's enemies often understood exactly what his parables meant. It wasn't that it was closed off to where you just couldn't get it at all. Matter of fact, there were times when his enemies or even the wicked might understand some things. Let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And verses 33, Matthew 21. And let's start in we don't need to read that whole parable of the landowner, but let's start in about verse 42. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eye. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing fruits of it, which God did with the Gentiles. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking to them. So there was times, okay, I understand you're talking to me here. I don't like what you're saying, but I understand at least the parable is directed towards me. They understood that. Okay? But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. And there was times when Jesus spoke in parables, and even those who he had called didn't get it. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Go to Mark 7. The disciples, sometimes we're like the disciples, aren't we? In that we don't get some things. Chapter 7, verse 14, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Chapter 7, verse 15 here. "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, look at this, his disciples asked him concerning the what? The parable. And so he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile a man, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he goes on. But see, there's times when the disciples came to him, maybe not to I don't know, look like they didn't understand, but when they were alone with Jesus, they go, wait a minute. They did it with the parable of the sower. "Well, I don't understand what you're saying. Explain it to us." And so it has been estimated that at least one third of Jesus' recorded teachings are found in the parables. So what's a parable? The Greek word parable, or parabole is how you'd say that in the Greek, means to place beside or to cast alongside. As defined by Vines, if you know what that book is, it signifies a placing of one thing beside another with a view to compare it. So I put a story beside this so I can compare the two. Warren Wiersbe defines it as a story that places one thing beside another for the purpose of teaching. A parable is something that is usually identified by the use of the word "like." So that, go to Matthew chapter 13, that one you had up here before, Ben, with 31, 33. So Matthew 13, you'll go back there and go to verse 31. You'll see this word pop up a lot of times in the parables. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So it's used as a comparison with something. Verse 33, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Verse 44, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field." Verse 45, "And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls." Verse 47, and the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. So you can see a parable often uses that word like to compare something with another. So that's what a parable is. Now, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why didn't he speak just straightforward in his teaching? Why did he have to use stories or parables to do his teaching? Well, the main reason that we see in Matthew, well, there's two reasons. Let's talk about the one that's kind of jumps out at us, was to conceal the truth. I'll say, well, why would God conceal the truth? Well, there's different reasons for that, but let's look at this. Because of the spiritual dullness of the multitudes. Okay? Which is chapter 13. You see that when we read that, verses 14 through 15. Hearing they will not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will not see, you will not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown what? Dull. So it's true that God spoke to them in parables because they were so dull they couldn't get it. So, wow, Matthew seems to suggest that their own unbelief is the cause of their dullness. That's what you see in this passage. They could hear the words, but they were never going to believe the truth. They're so dull that you could tell them right in front of them, like this. There is life after death. There's a resurrection. I am the resurrection of the dead. I am the resurrection of life. I'll show you. Lazarus, come forth. Watch a man come right out of the grave, and they're so dull they would never hear the gospel. Think that, can people be that dull? Absolutely. So let's look at some verses that might show that. John chapter 8. Let's go to John 8. I want you to go to verse 39. John 8, 39. Let's just read a little ways here. John 8, 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come for myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Listen to what Jesus is telling them. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God, hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Well, there's an indictment. You can't hear me. You don't even believe what I'm telling you. Look at John 9. John 9, verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment, I have come into the world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. They hear the truth and they can't even, they're so dull. They're so dull they can't even see their need for Christ. Now, their blindness is also a result of God's doing. Because, let's look at that. Mark and Luke would seem to imply this truth. Let's go back, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. I like how Mark says these things. So, Mark 4, verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in what? Parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So it's implied here that somebody's doing this. All right? Because something's given or something's withheld. Look at Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke 8, verses 9 and 10. Luke chapter 8. Then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. It's almost as if God doesn't want some people to get it. Wouldn't you read it that way? Well, that does... My brain can't handle that. But let's go back and see what's being said. Where did the gospel writers get these verses from? Jesus said them. Jesus used these passages. So where did he get these? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus quotes a lot from Isaiah. Did you know that? Isaiah 6. Let's start. Now, if you know anything about Isaiah chapter 6, it's Isaiah's vision of the throne room. That's how it starts out. But when you get to Isaiah chapter 6, let's go to verse 9. And Isaiah's new commission, if you would. God gives him a commission. I want you to go do this. Says, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. So there's the passage Jesus is quoting from in Isaiah, or in the Gospels. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 29, Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Listen to this. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. So they weren't without seeing it, right? Yet, look at verse 4. The Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day. So they saw all the miracles, but they weren't given understanding of why they saw all that. Wow. I'm simply using these verses to show you that it's not just the dullness of our heart sometimes. God is doing a work in people. So, you'll understand in just a minute. John chapter 12, verse 35. another account here. A little while longer, the light is with you, John 12:35. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not what? They didn't believe him. That the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah again said, okay, listen to this. They didn't choose to not believe. They could not believe. Now listen. Why? He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. Now, why didn't I not turn to God and be healed? What is John saying here? Because there was another sovereign involved in this. And that sovereign, God himself, is the one that blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would not see and they would not hear. Wow. Does God have the right to do that? Look at Romans 11. Romans 11. Let's go to verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks? What was Israel seeking? Righteousness with God. By what? By their works. By their birthright. But righteousness comes through faith. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it? Now, the elect there are the believers in Jesus Christ. In reference here. And the rest were what? Say it loud. Blinded or hardened. Just as is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor. What is that? A spirit of dullness. Wait a minute. God, that's not fair. He didn't ask to be fair. He just does what he wants. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Why is it that Israel, now I'm not talking about certain people that are Jew that come to the faith, because they are coming to the faith, but as a nation, why don't they recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah? Right there. Because he says, I'm not going to let you. Because at the time of the Gentiles, Gentiles are still getting saved, still working in the Gentile realm to save Gentiles. Hello. One day, the switch will be turned on and they're going to go, ha! It was Jesus. And many will come to faith. But to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense to them, let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see. Okay. Now if we think about, as I study this, as I look at this, if we think about the verses, when we put all this together, it might be said that those who are not willing to believe Christ's word will find the truth hidden from them. Because of the dullness of their heart. But also, the truths of God, His Word, can only be made known by the revelation of God. In other words, both are true. God withholds because you don't believe. But He also is the one that says, I already know. And so, it's my choosing. Whose eyes I open, whose ears I open, whose eyes I close, whose ears I close. Wow! What a powerful God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Now this whole thing should be encouraging to you this morning. Look at verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Now his purpose then is also not just to conceal but to reveal something. That's why I use this verse. So he's concealing from some, but he's revealing to others. Reveal what? Well, go back to Matthew chapter 13. This is these things that the prophets and the Old Testament saints studied and looked at, and they so desperately wanted to see what God, what he was going to do, how he was going to do it. But it's already been revealed to you. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, this mysteries, many Bible doctrines are identified as mysteries in the scriptures. Okay, let me show you a few. All right. Go back to Romans 11. Go back to Romans 11. And let's go to verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Okay. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. That mystery there is, it was hidden that God was going to save the Gentiles. It was in the scriptures, but they didn't get it. Okay? Let me show you another, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come in excellence of speech or in wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not of persuasive words of human wisdom, but of demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God obtained or ordained before the ages for our glory. So there's the mystery of the hidden wisdom. How? What's God's reasoning behind this? What's He going to do? It was all, how was He going to do it? Remember, even the angels wanted to figure it out, but they didn't. They couldn't. Because God kept it hidden. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. People, the resurrection itself is a mystery. Can you imagine standing here right now and all of a sudden we're changed into our heavenly body? Faster than you can blink. Well, there's a mystery. The thought of me and you putting on a whole new body that can stand in the presence of God. The whole mystery of eternal life, all of it, is that a mystery? Boy, it has been. Oh, what about Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. The marriage chapter. Comparing the role of the wife to the bride and the role of the man to the Lord Jesus Christ and how the marriage is supposed to work. One representing the other. Wives representing the bride and the man representing the Lord. And the Lord gives everything for His bride. And the bride submits to everything in her heart. All that is pictured in Ephesians chapter 5. You get down to verse 32. And listen, this is a great what? But I speak concerning Christ in the church. You want to know how Christ and the church acts? It's in Ephesians 5. You know how a marriage is supposed to act? Just like the church. It's all right there. But it's a mystery. It was hidden. What? God knows, doesn't He? I'm going to make people get married. Not just to have children. But I want them to learn through marriage what the relationship is between the bride and the groom. The church and God. That's what marriage is about. You get that marriage, a handle on that marriage, and you represent exactly what Christ intended the relationship to look like between the church and Christ. So that's a mystery. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. No, that's not it. Is it? Yeah, it is. Okay. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So you see, this word mystery shows up quite a bit in the scriptures. But I want to talk about the mystery of the church. That thing that's been hidden in scripture. Hidden from all eternity. It's important to appreciate the fact this is called the mystery, not because it remains a mystery, but because that's what it was from eternity past. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? It's like, even though it's been revealed to us, it's still a mystery. It doesn't change it. It's still a mystery. Okay. Anyway, let's go to Romans 16. I'll show you this. Romans 16. Let's look at the mystery that's really being laid out in Scripture here. Romans 16, verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, listen to this, kept secret since the world began. Okay, so there's a mystery that God kept secret before the world began, or since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So this gospel was the mystery. This gospel was going to do something. And it was hidden from what? It's been hidden since the world began. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Ephesians 1 9. A lot of verses this morning. If I back up to 7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery, look at this, of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So what's all this mystery? Because we know now that this mystery has been revealed, but what exactly is this mystery? You ready for this? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Now listen to what it says. Listen carefully. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So far, in four verses, is mentioned the word mystery twice. Which in other ages has not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, there's the third time, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, created all things, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So what did Paul just tell the Ephesians? What is the mystery? Here it is. I'm going to save the Gentiles. I'm going to take the Jew, and I'm going to take the Gentile, and I'm going to create one entity called the church. And it's going to be on display to all the principalities that's in the heavenlies. We're on display, people. God has put us on display to all the heavenly host, all the world we live in, that we are his bride. We are his church made up of Jew and Gentile. And that's the mystery. And they're saying, how is God going to possibly do this? He did it at the cross. He took the Jew and the Gentile, and everybody meets at the cross of Calvary. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are put into his church, made his bride. And we become that bride that's on display to everyone who's watching. That's the mystery. And it's even more than that when you go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to Colossians 1. And let's go to verse 24, Colossians 1, 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of what? His body, which is the church. For which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Much like Ephesians chapter 3. The mystery, there it is, which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to who? To who? Not everybody. To who? His saints. Wow. To them God willed, look at that, to who did God will? His saints. Okay? Put it all together. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this what? Mystery. Among the who? The Gentiles. Which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is how God did it. This is that mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that's been hidden from all eternity, even from the time. Well, he didn't have to hide it from himself. So, but since the world began, that God was going to do something great. You know what he was going to do? You know how he was going to do all this? He's going to put Christ in you. That's a huge miracle. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Christ is in you via his Spirit. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, he goes on and he says. So we know that the mystery has now been revealed. And that's the mystery, that it is Christ in us. This is what Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 2 when he said this. Go back to Ephesians 2. Should have used this a little bit sooner, but this is what he meant when he's writing this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. See, that's what I was. Gentile in the flesh. Wasn't I? Weren't you? Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. What he's saying there is, listen, you who were once hated by the Jews, that's the uncircumcision by the circumcision, you did not belong because you weren't Jewish. That's what he's saying. That at the times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, listen to this, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There's the mystery. You were made part of a family. How are you? Are you glad you're part of that family? And it was God that came to get you. Now, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of believing Jews and Gentiles. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, you don't need to turn there. But God promised Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Paul repeats that in Galatians chapter 3, where he says, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So I brought in Galatians so you see what Genesis meant. When God said that to Abraham, God was implying he was going to save Jew and Gentile and make them one family. In Isaiah it says, 49 verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Prophecy about Christ. Okay. So God has hidden just how he was going to reveal this and at what time he was going to do it. But now it's been revealed to us. You need to understand that in these parables that concern the mystery, Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and many others look forward to understanding this mystery, but they did not fully understand it in their lifetime. Yet these mysteries of the kingdom, containing things kept secret from the foundation of the world, are now being made known through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of God's Word, the believer in Jesus Christ can know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven too. It takes God in me to help me understand that. It takes His Word to help me understand that. But I want you to understand something this morning, something the world today maybe doesn't care about. As they're going off to watch football or celebrate the god of entertainment or whatever they're going to do, probably something that will not be given any thought of today in the person who does not have Christ as their Savior. That is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Listen to me. You are blessed because your eyes see and because your ears hear. As it says in Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That is, God has opened your ears and eyes that you might understand the gospel, that you might understand the mystery of what He was going to do and what He has done. Now, why are you blessed? Notice verse 17, Matthew 13, 17. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. God has lifted a veil from your eyes that you might see Christ. Now, we should marvel at God's grace when we recall that we have trusted Christ alone for our salvation. And before the Lord quickened us to salvation, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we had no desire at all to serve Him. But He opened your eyes, and He opened your ears so that you could understand these things. Give Him praise. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, I want to praise You even from my own lips, that without You, without the work You've done in my life, I would still be confused. I would still be without understanding. I would still be with no hope. I would still have deaf ears and blind eyes. But Lord, because You saved me, I see and I hear what Your word says. That is only because of You. Lord Jesus, thank You that the mystery, Your mystery that You've hidden from even all these Old Testament saints, You have revealed even to me. Who am I? Who are we that we should have such a privilege? Lord, let us go out and proclaim the gospel from our rooftops to every person we see. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.